age of 97. And we had the joy of having many, many talks with him. Every time I'd come back from overseas trip, he wanted me to come in, and we talked together. Just a great man. The first year I was there, I was 18 years of age and went to Tennessee Temple in 1952. And I was one of the ushers for the Midwinter Revival Meeting. Midwinter Revival Meeting went Sunday morning through the next Sunday night. And it was an eight-day meeting. And there was a fellow by the name of Torrey Johnson, not the one you know. It was another one. He helped start Youth for Christ way back yonder in the medieval days, I suppose. And he had sort of a harsh voice, and he had his whole team. I remember he had Merle Dunlap. He was a, I don't know if you ever heard that name or not. He was an organist, written many songs. He had Herb Hoover with him, yeah. Hilding Halverson. And they had a revival team. It was a midwinter revival. And so help me, every time he got up in the pulpit, every single time Torrey Johnson got up in the pulpit, he said, what we need to do is send this man, and Dr. Robertson said over here on this side, he said, what we need to do is send this man to Florida for vacation. Now, he's never been to Florida for vacation. And what we need to do is send him. He just needs one. He needs her. And he said that Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Now, you need to send this man to Florida for a vacation. I think what he was trying to do is get an invitation back. I'm going to tell you, if he tried to get it back, he blew it. He never was invited back again. You just didn't do that around Dr. Robertson. Because he was busy about the thing. He never took a vacation. And when he'd go out to extension meetings, he'd go Monday and Tuesday, and he wouldn't go unless he'd get back on Wednesday night. If he went on Thursday and Friday, he wouldn't get back. He wouldn't go unless he could come back for his staff meeting with his faculty on Saturday morning. I mean, that's just the way it was. I mean, it was just, you could tell where he was going to be. That was just him. And he kept saying, every service, he said that. Every service. 8 days. Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. All the mornings in the chapel. Every night in the church service. All the time he said that. And Dr. Robertson, I knew well enough that that wasn't what he was wanting to hear. And he left on Saturday night. The Lord's my witness. We went to chapel on Monday morning, 1952. E.J. Daniels came in. Nationally known evangelist, good preacher. And he came in, and he said, this is the friendliest place I know anything about. It's the best school in the United States. He said, you walk on the campus, and you feel the presence of the Lord here. He said, I don't pass a student without them talking to me, and if they've never seen me before, they want to know who I am, and God bless you, and we're glad to have you. He said, the Spirit of God is here. And he said, there's no school like this in the United States of America. He said, you know something, student body? If I was a devil, I'd send this man to Florida for a vacation. Buddy, we got to rolling in the aisles. I mean to tell you. And Dr. Robertson sitting right there just about to fall out of his chair. His face was turning red. He was rocking back and forth and patting his leg. And Daniels is standing up there going, yeah, I could tell you some other things too, but not, you know, school days are precious days. They are lovely days, precious days, wonderful days. And so we thank the Lord for it. Let's get ready for the message. Our Father, we love Thee. Thank Thee for the privilege now of opening the Word and being with this precious pastor and all of these people at the church. And thank Thee for everybody that's had a part and said so many kind things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Dear, can you slip to the piano or we will sing it without it. Do you know that? I believe we used it before. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Revive me, I pray. Stir me to witness to the world today. Give me compassion for lost, dying man. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Revive me, I pray. How many of you remember that song from when we sang it before? Good. Let's all stand before we sit down and hear the preaching. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Revive me, I pray. Stir me to witness to the world today. Give me compassion for lost, dying man. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Oh, revive me, I pray. And we close our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Make it a prayer. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you have ever been in a church building, the auditorium, and you've gone out of that auditorium, and over the door is you are now entering a mission field? How many have seen that sign? That's half right. That's half right. You may be sitting here tonight, and you are a mission field. Not every church member is a missionary. Not every church member is living in the will of God. All you have to do is look around and see that the crowd is not as large tonight as it was this morning. Do you know what those people are that were here this morning and not in the Lord's house tonight? They are a mission field. You can be saved and be a mission field if you're out of the will of God. Now you're going to have to evaluate it tonight. Am I a missionary or a mission field? A missionary is somebody who is faithful. Somebody who's living in the will of God. A missionary is somebody who tithes. Are you listening? A missionary is somebody who prays for missions around the world and missionaries they know. A missionary is a member of a local Bible-believing Baptist church. Or a church that preaches the gospel. A missionary is somebody who has a burden for his neighbor. A missionary is somebody who talks to his neighbor about Jesus. If you don't talk to your neighbor about Jesus, you are a mission field. Because a missionary is somebody who loves the Lord enough to share that through his giving, through his speaking, through his testimony. A missionary is somebody in a local church that's been saved, been baptized, has a love for souls, and does his best to tell others about Jesus and win them to Christ. Right. A missionary is somebody who will bring a lost person to a service and walk with them down the aisle to make sure they've trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Now you can put all this together that you want to put together, and you can think of many more things. But the sign over the door that says you are now entering a mission field is half right. Because everybody that's born again, ye shall be my witnesses. Now the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, well, I can't do that. Now wait a minute, you answered too soon. Hold it. How many of you have ever been out of this state? Let me see your hands. Okay. Good. This is a beautiful state. How many ever been out of the United States? Thank you. How many ever heard of tracts in foreign languages? I'm not going to ask this question. How many of you have prepared to go in other parts of the world with tracts in that language in your pocket and ready for disposal? All right? You're a mission field if you're not doing that. Are you listening? Now you can look at this any way you want to. Follow me and I'll make you to become what? Fishers of men. That's the first thing the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples. And when you're saved, what do you become? A fisher of men? You are a disciple. When you get saved, you are a disciple. You are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus ascended to heaven, He said, "Ye shall be my witnesses." And He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Now, you may not be an ordained preacher, but you are a witness and you are preaching every time you tell somebody about Jesus. You may not be called to be a preacher, but that's what you're doing as you witness. You're doing the same thing as you witness as we do when we stand right here on this platform. We're telling people how to live according to the Bible and how to go to heaven. And so remember, the sign across the door is about half right. I remember we were in Germany, and I carry a Mickey Mantle track with me everywhere I go. It's just people like it. I've only been refused by one or two people, and they were from, one was from New Jersey, and when she was in a toll booth, and I said, "I got something for you." "She can't take anything." I held up a Mickey Mantle. She said she had already committed herself. She was too proud to reach out and take it. I just say, "Have you ever heard of this guy?" "Oh, yeah. Yeah, heard of him." And so a missionary is somebody that's equipped with the gospel. You may not be able to speak a language where you have been, but you are a witness. And Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Preach the gospel. That's teach the gospel for the layperson. And really, when you're teaching, you're preaching it, because a preacher is just somebody that tells it. So the Bible is teaching us very clear. Now turn with me. You say, "Well, I'm not going to agree with everything you say." You don't have to. We'll just look at it and let's get the facts. What do you say about that, huh? John chapter 4. John chapter 4. A missionary or a mission field. "For the Son of Man has come to seek that which is lost." Every person is going to live eternally in heaven or hell. And if you're not telling them about heaven, you're not a missionary. If you're not telling them about hell, you're next door neighbor. You're not a missionary. And you're not a follower as instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person will go to heaven or go to a crisis eternity. If you're lost, you're going to spend eternity in hell. If you're saved, you're a disciple, and disciples are to be missionaries. Tell people around the world. If you're not saved, you are a mission field. John chapter 4. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John," though Jesus Himself baptized, but His disciples, "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." Now, why do you suppose He went through Samaria? We're going to find out. Because that's where the sinner was. And we ought to go where the sinners are and tell them how to go to heaven. "Then He cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Now, Jacob's well was there. "Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the ninth hour." That's about 12 o'clock noon. Starts at 6 o'clock, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and so about the ninth hour at noon, sometime around there. "And Jacob's well was there." Now, he said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Now, where did he why did he want to go to Samaria? He knew that Jacob's well was there, and he knew there was a woman that was going to come to that well at noon. So he went to where the sinner was. And then the Bible says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, thus sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now Jesus knew this woman came to the well about noon. And this is interesting. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And do you know there are some Christians that have no dealing with certain people? Did you know that? There are some Christians that wouldn't talk to people of other countries. I like, let's see, I forgot his last name. What's the black preacher's name? Earl. What is it, honey? James Earls. James Earls. About a 300-pounder. I was in a mission conference with him a couple of years ago. James Earl got up and he said to everybody, he said, look at me. He said, I am not an Afro-American. He said, I wasn't born in Africa. He said, I'm a black American. I was born here in the United States of America. I said, well, everybody needs to hear that. But that doesn't make any difference. The difference is that people have attitudes against other situations. And the Bible says, ye shall be my witnesses. And so the Lord Jesus Christ knew this woman of Samaria was there. And so his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. And then in verse number 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Boy, that's a hunk of lesson right there for all of us. We should never be ashamed to talk to anybody. Roman Catholics, Buddhists, Muslims. It doesn't make any difference what their sect is or what they believe. Jesus did this to teach his disciples to be missionaries. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Did you notice how he put that around? He was just telling her living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Well, that's a good question. She asked him how to get this living water. And he approached her in a way that she couldn't understand why this Jew was talking to a Samaritan. They just didn't get along. You remember the Samaritan that was robbed and left for dead along the side of the road? You remember that? He's over here and he's groaning. He's on the side of the road. He's been beaten. He's been robbed. He's been left for dead. And the Levite came by and hears the groans. Groans are going on. He's getting by. I've got to get out of here. I can't stand that. I don't want any part of it. Yeah, here comes the priest. Now, the priest cares for everybody. I mean, it doesn't make any difference what your denomination is. It doesn't make any difference what color you are. It doesn't make any difference what language you speak. Here comes the priest. He don't want to get involved. I got other business to tend to. I can't take care of somebody that's all beaten and bruised. And now here comes a Samaritan. The Samaritans have no dealing with the Jews and vice versa. And so here he comes. The Jew is laying there in agony.
If he's riding his beast, he gets off of the beast. He sees what's going on. He gets some oil. Maybe gets some wine. He kneels down and he puts the head of that wounded person that's been beaten by robbers, and he puts the head in his lap and begins to clean his face and lifts him up and puts him on his beast and takes him to the nearest inn and says, take care of this man. Now here's some more money, and I'll come back through this way, and if you need more money in what you spent on taking care of this man, I'll pay you then. Now, which one of those people you think did the right thing? The Jew and the Samaritans have no dealing with one another. But listen, when Jesus comes in, you have a different outlook on life. And if you got prejudice, you're not entering a mission field. You are a mission field. And so the Bible is teaching, the woman saith unto him in verse number 11, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast that living water? Now see, Jesus gave her something that she didn't understand, and he worded it in such a way that she'd be so curious, she wants to ask him about this living water. She's never heard of any living water before. At least from a Jew, she had never heard anything encouraging. Everything was negative with the Jews and the Samaritans. Well, they hated one another's guts. She said, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said, now, all race is put aside here. He's already given her a relaxed attitude toward him as a Jew and her as a Samaritan. And he said, whosoever drink of this water that I give him shall thirst again. Whosoever drink of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. Now you see what's happening? He is pointing out all the sin. He already knows that she's a sinner. He knows everything about all of us. Amen. And he didn't say, listen, there's no way that you could ever follow me as long as you're not married. As long as you've had those others. He didn't do that. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. She was immoral. She needed Jesus. For thou hast five husbands. And he whom thou now hast not thy husband, in that saidest you truly. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. And the Lord Jesus Christ witnessed to her. And jump down to 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak to thee am thee. And his disciples came and they marveled. You see, he's teaching his disciples. That's the purpose of missionary-minded pastors in churches like this, that's teaching what the Bible says, like I'm teaching tonight. It makes no difference what color the skin is. It makes no difference what language they speak. It makes no difference where they live. All have sinned. Have you ever heard that before? All have sinned. And when you get saved, there's one thing the Lord takes away from you if you're really born again, and that's being prejudiced of other peoples or other countries, because everybody has a soul. And Jesus is teaching the importance of missions. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest with her? He was teaching his disciples to become missionaries. If you're saved, you're a disciple. A disciple is a follower. Follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of... There's no discussion about that. There's not. Well, I see it this way. Well, I don't care how you see it. It's what the Bible says. And if you don't see it God's way, you're on the wrong track. And the Bible says, when he finished talking to the woman, and his disciples, listen, his disciples, this is the first lesson in becoming missionaries that they had. And Jesus gave them hands-on illustration right before their very eyes. And the woman then left her water pot. When she came to get that water pot full, that was the main purpose for her being there. Man, she didn't worry about that water pot. And the Bible says, and went her way into the city and saith to the men. She became a missionary right there. She got saved, and the next thing she did was become a missionary. She went right back to her city and she began to tell the people. And most of them were men, it says. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? And they that went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I am busy about my Father's business. I am not hungry. I am satisfied with my life and the way I can talk to other people about the saving knowledge of the Lord of me, that I'm going to die on the cross for her. And his disciples, one of another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. And he goes on to explain. The Bible says down here, when the woman brought those other people back, in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things that I ever did. Look in verse 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe. They came to see Jesus. She brought them all. She said, you got to get over here. This man told me everything I've ever done. You got to come over here. He's going to give you living water. Living water. Not the kind you drink, but the kind of water that you'll never thirst again. And he's going to take you to heaven. I found the Messiah. This is him. Now, when we find the Messiah, are we excited about it? Do we tell other people about it? You know what that means? You sit before me tonight in this service as a missionary or a mission field. And if you're not following the directions of the Lord Jesus Christ, this woman got with it. And now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. So the Bible teaches us that these men, look in verse 50, Jesus saith unto them, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word of Jesus was spoken unto him. and he went his way. People began to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came and they said, now we know that he is the Messiah. And she became a missionary the moment she got saved. You remember when you got saved? Now, if you're saved, you remember when it was. You may not remember the exact date, but you remember the circumstances. You remember where you were. I remember I was a kid. I don't know. I didn't know. I said, Mother, I remember being in your arms and you climbing up some steps. And she said, Bobby, that was 1937. We had a flood here in Evansville. Ohio River was out of its bounds. It came up 54, 56 feet above flood stage, came all the way up Main Street. She said, I'm scared to death of water. And said, I got on a train and had you in my arms. And I said, Mother, that's all I know. He said, that's what it was. You were 3 years of age, 1937. And I make this comparison often. But I want people to understand. You know where you were when the capsule blew up, if you're old enough to do that. You know where you were when John F. Kennedy got shot, if you're old enough to do that. I was in Cambridge City, Indiana. I was out in the yard. Pastor came to the door. We'd gone out to eat with some dear friends of ours, the Bakers, in this country home. And he came to the door and he said, Bobby, the president's just been shot. I know where I was. I know where I was when the capsule blew up. I know where I was when Lincoln got shot. I know where it was when Roosevelt died. I know where I was. Did I say Lincoln? Well, there's probably been a Lincoln that's been shot since Abraham Lincoln was shot. But I know where I was when I saw it on the movie the first time, that's for sure. I know where these special things happened. And listen to me. Don't tell me you're saved if you don't remember the experience of it.
Right.
Now, I don't expect you to say, well, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's all right. You ought to, if you know it. But you ought to know the circumstances, and you ought to know where you were, and you ought to know who was talking to you about it, or if you were by yourself, or kneeling on your knees. You'll know the circumstances of that. Now, if you don't know that, you better check up. You may be a mission field instead of a missionary. So the Bible is teaching us very, very clearly how to live, what to do. And the Bible tells us very, very definitely that we are missionaries, our mission field. You don't have to go across the waters to be a missionary. But you do have to go next door to be a missionary. You do have to go in your community to be a missionary. And you do have to go at proper times of visitation to be a missionary. We were over in Germany, and I usually have German tracks when I'm in Germany or Japan, wherever we go. But I was over in Rotenburg. If you've ever been to Germany, you like to go to that old city over there, 1500s, wall around. It's a unique place. And they don't let cars come in there because they got the walls, and it's just a place where a lot of people come in and a lot of people buy things, and it's a historic place. And so I'm walking, there's a lot of, my wife's on one side, I'm on the other side, I'm walking, there's a lot of people, and there's some people, 4 people sitting on a bench, and they're speaking English, and it was a mother and father, and their son and daughter-in-law, or their daughter and son-in-law, 4 of them sitting there, and they were speaking English, and so I passed them, and the Spirit of the Lord said, you got to talk to those people, and I can't talk to Germans too much because I don't know the language, but I can give them tracks, and I do that. So I turned around and went back and walked past. It was right under one of those arches, and they were sitting on this concrete bench, and they were making plans about where they were going. And I walked up to them, and I said, and they looked at one another like this, and they said, "We're Americans." Said, "We don't understand what you're saying." I didn't either, but I didn't tell him that. I said, "I don't know what I said either." I said, "I'm American too." They went, you know, they just realized. I said, "Where are you from?" They said, "Kentucky." I said, "Kentucky?" I said, "I'm from Indiana. My parents, all my in-laws, from Kentucky." I said, "What part of Kentucky?" They said, "Henderson." I said, "Henderson? That's right across the river, Ohio River, where I live, Evansville, Indiana." And I said, "We live there." And then the race park is right there when you cross the bridge. And they said, "We know all that stuff. We're from Henderson, Indiana." I said, "Did you know we built the bridge so you folks could swim over in the shade?" And man, they just laughed. And I talked to them about Jesus. And I gave them a track. I don't know. I may see them in heaven. That'd be all right. "Ye shall be my witnesses." And you become a missionary when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This woman left her water pot and she went to the village and she said, "Come and hear a man that told me all things that I've ever done." And because of that, many people came to know Christ as personal Savior. I hope I've said it enough. And I hope you understand what I'm talking about. You are a missionary or you are a mission field. "Ma'am, were you at the motel that I invited you to come?" "Well, bless your heart. I thought I recognized you back there. Talked to her yesterday and told her we were over here in meeting." She said, "Well, I promise you, I'll be there Sunday night if I get back in town in time." Well, bless your heart. You are welcome. I hope you haven't been disappointed. I'm glad all of you are here tonight. You're here for a purpose. I hope you're stirred. If you're not troubled, then I haven't preached the Word of God clearly. I want you to say it. I am a missionary or I am a mission field. I am a missionary or I am a mission field. You can be saved and going to heaven. But if you're not telling others, you're not the disciple that Jesus wants. He wants all disciples. But He wants people to talk about Jesus. He wants people to tell Him. And she ran back into, "Come and hear a man that told me everything I've ever done." And that is a missionary that gets the message out to others. Dear Heavenly Father, we love Thee. Thank Thee for this service tonight. Thank Thee for the Word. And Father, we pray that Thou will help us to digest the Word of God. May we not only read it, but may we practice it. And Father, help us to launch out and realize we have a responsibility. "Ye shall be my witnesses." And the very last words the Lord Jesus Christ spoke as 500 saw Him go up into heaven. "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Now we got that message. God help us not to be stingy with it. God help us to open up our thoughts. If we talk to people about Jesus, all they can say, "Look, mind your own business." Well, then our hands are clean from that particular individual. And so help us, Lord, to realize that we are to be witnesses. If we're not witnesses, we are part of a mission field. Speak to our hearts now. Use us for Thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. If you have somebody upon your heart tonight that's a friend, you have somebody upon your heart tonight that you're in doubt about their salvation, you come and just gather around the altar here. Stand. You can kneel if you want to. But if God has placed somebody upon your heart, could be a neighbor, could be a relative. Oh, it's difficult. It's difficult to sometimes witness to relatives. Oh, it's so hard. But listen, folks, if that relative dies outside of Jesus Christ, and he stands up before Jesus Christ, all judgment is left to the Son, and he calls your name and said, she never talked to me about Jesus. Never. Listen, the time to take care of that is now before it's too late. It makes no difference what they think. It makes no difference what they say. You're a disciple. A disciple follows the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciple is to go in all the world. The disciple is to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes no difference. Every saved person is a missionary. But every saved person that's a missionary may be omitting his responsibility and he becomes a mission field. If you have people, just come and just wait here at the altar, please, and just stand around the altar. You come and say, I've got a friend. I've got a relative. I know Jim. I work with Jim. I know Sally. I work with her. And you want to pray for her? Well, then do so. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many have got somebody that the Lord has put on your mind tonight that you can call their name? And they're not saved. Do you have anybody like that? Just quietly slip your hand up all over the building. One, just hold them up for just a moment. I want to see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And I see some young hands. 2 or 3. Dear Heavenly Father, we have people in mind. Could be relatives. Lord, give the boldness, give the power to witness. Help us to realize our responsibility is to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to carry out that command. It's not a commission. It's more than a commission. It's a command. And we're to take that command as born-again people and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege of doing that in recent days. And we thank you for those who have been coming because of that in the meetings we were in just a week ago. So speak to hearts. Thank you for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Pastor?
I'm going to ask the ushers this time to offering go to our evangelist. We certainly thank God for him and what he's done for us, and his wife. Wonderful music we've enjoyed. Amen. And I hope he'll be very liberal givers tonight. Lord, we thank you for this week. Seems like it just started or done. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to the evangelists that you've given us this week. Lord, I pray you'd bless, help us, Lord, as we give tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.